إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه أبديين سرمديين إلى يوم القيامة ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly the way He deserves to be praised. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone, having no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. We ask Allah to exalt his mention, grant him peace, and send his blessings and salutations upon him, upon his companions, upon his wives, and all those who follow them on the path of righteousness until the day of recompense. Brothers in Islam, there are so many things which we take lightly, but they are of grave importance in the sight of Allah. As Allah said in the Quran, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You assume this matter to be something light, but it is great in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. This was in the context of the people speaking ill about Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. When hadithatul ifk, that fabrication and lie against her, was made by the munafiqeen, and some of the righteous believers got involved, and they were simply conveying speech which they were receiving. They did not invent it. They were simply a means of communication, a vehicle to transport speech from one individual to another. Someone will say, what's the big deal, ya? And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. This is a great matter in the sight of Allah. And today, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of examples wherein Muslims involve themselves in things which they perceive to be light, but they are great in the sight of Allah. And even though we can tackle this idea from multiple angles based on multiple evidences, let us highlight only one and give one relevant, modern, contemporary example. And then from there we can all apply it in our own lives and understand the wisdom behind this principle. The principle is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَنْقُصُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْئًا وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً فَعَلَيْهِ وِزْرُهَا وَوِزْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَنْقُصُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ شَيْئًا. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith is collected by Imam Muslim in the Sahih: whosoever revives, and we will explain why we use this verb, whoever revives an established act of worship, not he invents it from his own mind, then he will have the reward of this act and the reward of all those who follow him until the day of judgment, and that will not decrease from their reward in anything. Meaning, because he started, they followed. It does not mean he gets the reward, he shares 50-50 with them. They will get full reward for what they do, and he will get a full reward for being the initiator. So you can imagine, if 10 people follow him, that's one, his deeds times 10. Subhanallah. That's the good news. But the hadith has a continuation. And whoever introduces an evil act in this regard, something that is not in agreement with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he will bear the sin of this act and the sin of all those who follow him
until the day of judgment, and it will not take away from their sins in anything. Their sins will not be diminished in anything. So what does that mean? It means that when someone wants to create a platform for so-called Muslim halal movies, this is the trend in the Western world. Hollywood opening its arms to the world. But no, you cannot call it Hollywood, because that would be flat out haram. So they called it Halaliwood. That's the halal way of making Hollywood halal. Change the word to Halaliwood and make a movie. Halal movie? Yes, brother. Define halal movie. A movie that doesn't have any sins. You look at the movie, it is nothing but sin. From the beginning until the end, it is a continuous process of sinfulness with many people involved in it. And then with the audacity to call it at the end a halal movie, and they want to set the pace for the rest of the Muslims. So all the directors and the actors and all these artists among the Muslims can follow the trend. And I have news for you, brothers. They would like to collect your sadaqah. Because making a movie costs, you know, some million something, a few million dollars. And they're opening the door of charity. Whoever wants to go to Jannah by helping the American Muslims make a movie, you got an option for you. Like, anyone in his right mind is going to pay his money for this cause to make a movie. I don't have to tell you what's in the movie. The details, I mean. Music? Surely. Free mixing? Come on. Flirtation? Standardized. Mocking the deen? How else? It's a comedy. Anytime you want to combine a comedy, stand-up comedian, or an actor with Islam, the only option you have is to make fun of the deen. There's no way around it. If your topic is religious, then you will directly or indirectly mock the deen of Allah. And this is an act of disbelief, and we're not declaring disbelief upon anyone, so no one will misunderstand. But fundamentally speaking, this is one area where you cannot be Mr. Funny Guy. Not when it comes to the deen of Allah. The munafiqeen tried to do it. And Allah told them, قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِمَانِكُمْ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا. Don't apologize. Don't even apologize. You have disbelieved after your iman. Because they were just making fun of some of the Sahaba. They were mocking some of the Sahaba. We haven't seen anyone like our Qurra, the memorizer of the Quran, with bigger bellies. It was just something that they were saying in jest. End result, disbelief. Declared by the Creator Himself. Not some sheikh who did his own investigation. Allah Himself made the declaration in the fatwa. Is this really an area where you want to explore and experiment, our Muslims? No. Do we need to have movies to explain to the West how beautiful Islam is? Surely no. And do you think if you made a movie, which you call American Sharia or whatever it's called, do you think they're going to open their arms now and accept you? Of course not. Because Allah already told us, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Never ever will the Jews and the Christians be pleased with you. Never. You can change this deen until the last inch of it. Until you declare to them that you are a Jew and or a Christian, they will never be fully pleased with you. But they will definitely appreciate the compromise. Sure, change your religion as much as you can. Try to make me happy. I don't mind. Come on, get down even more. Let me step on you. I don't mind. But I'm not happy with you. Why? You're still a Muslim. So we say, forget you. I'm not changing anything. And I'm not interested in you liking me or not for this matter. Because what we want is to show Islam as per the way the Prophet ﷺ showed Islam. If they like it, congratulations, they have an option to go to Jannah. If they're not, they're just going to go to hell. And that doesn't concern us after we've made the effort to give da'wah. Unfortunately, Muslims fail in understanding that. And they go to the opposite extreme, where they get violent. And so how are we going to recover from these acts of violence back to back? Going killing people on some crazy spree. Okay, we don't care about what you're saying, think, but we will kill you then. Why, ya akhi? Where is the middle path that Islam taught? Where is that middle path? Where can we find it nowadays? Either you go out of your way to change Islam, or you kill the people for not accepting Islam. And both are rejected in our religion. The middle path is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ادعوا الى ربك بالحكمه والموعظه الحسنه وجادلهم بالتي هي احسن. Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom, not by singing and doing all types of retarded stuff in a movie publicly, and admonish them and argue with them in a manner which is best. If it is inevitable that you have to argue, you should also do this in the best manner possible, so that it does not backfire, it does not bring heat. This is the way. We try to explain Islam as beautifully as we can with our human abilities and capabilities. This is your job and my job. Try to present Islam in the best way. If they accept it, alhamdulillah. If they don't, alhamdulillah. Khalas, my job is done. My mission is over. I don't have to force it upon anyone. Nor do I go now to, let me check my religion. Okay, this is my religion. You don't like it? Okay, wait a second. Let me change it for you. How about now? Oh, you don't like it either. Okay, I'll make some more changes. How about now? Why? Why? Are you pleasing Allah by changing His deen to make them happy? If your intention is really to give da'wah, then how does that add up? It doesn't add up. You're changing Allah's deen. And you take it lightly. Take this bottle away from the kid, please. Jazakallah khair. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us then, when you instill in the people such mentalities and ideas, then you will bear the sin until yawm al-qiyamah. So this genius who wanted to start this project of making halal movies, he will bear the sin, and we ask Allah to forgive us and forgive him of all the people that will do this until yawm al-qiyamah. And he thought he was doing something good for the Muslims. And Allah told us in Surah Al-Kahf, which we read on weekly basis, should we not tell you about those whose deeds are most in the greatest state of loss? Those who think that they are doing good, but Allah Azza wa Jalla is not accepting this act. Why? It is not in agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. You know what yahsabun means? They are in the state where they believe that they are doing that which is right. يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. They're doing something good. Can you imagine the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم حاشا or the Sahaba making any type of act? I'm not going to say a movie, because you can easily say there were no movies back then. Do you think if making a play where people acted on stage, if that was something established, can you imagine the Sahaba doing this instead of the Quraishis to give them da'wah? This is the da'wah. If the Sahaba wouldn't do it, don't do it. If the Sahaba didn't do it, don't do it. People always upset with the highlight of the way of the Salaf, the way of the Salaf, the way of the Salaf. This is why we speak about the way of the Salaf. Because if you don't understand the way of our righteous predecessors, you will never be able to implement Islam. Your mind will take you in all types of directions, and no one will control you. But when you have a standard, a yardstick, did they do it? Would they do it? They didn't do it? I don't do it. Period. If it was effective, they would have beat me to it. If it was good, they would have done it first. So be careful. These movies are evil. No matter how good are the intentions of the actors and the people behind the project, because we don't want to assume evil about any Muslim. We assume they had nothing but pure intentions. But the act itself is rejected by Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already taught us, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whosoever introduces into this way of ours something which is not part of it, not included, then he will have that rejected. And he further warned us that you will follow the footsteps of those who came before you, handspan by handspan, and arm's length by arm's length. Even if they entered the hole of a lizard, you will enter right behind them. Hollywood, halaliwood. They want to act, we want to act. What else? What else? What did you leave? And this is going to change the condition of the Muslims in America, or in England, or in Sweden, or whatever? No! What will change the condition of the Muslims is us going back to Islam with the proper understanding, and then slowly but surely sharing the beautiful message with the people around us. That's the only way it will work. And Allah will not burden us beyond that. There isn't a higher expectation from the Muslim community beyond that. Being benevolent, being courteous, being considerate. But we don't do all of these for the large part. And then we wonder why the people are hating, and there's hate against Muslims and Islamophobia and so on and so forth. We bear a big responsibility in pushing the people away from Islam. We ask Allah to forgive us. In the second part of the khutbah, we will discuss more examples and how they are relevant to everyday life. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, brothers in Islam, each one of us is a sinner. Each one of us is a sinner in his own way, in his own world. And from the mercy of Allah that He conceals, Allah is as-sittir and not as-sattar as commonly said by the people, which is not one of the names of Allah. As-sittir, the one who covers up and conceals. Because if Allah exposed us, then we would all be destroyed. But from His mercy to His creation, He conceals. However, if one of us is going to engage in sin, and that is inevitable, if one had a choice, then let us always be mindful of the people around us. We're not encouraging sin in secret. But we're saying if one of us sees that he's going off the track and then he will misguide others in the process, then let him keep to himself and mind his business and don't be a source of fitna for the people. This is the message to myself and to the du'at and those involved in conveying the message of Islam to the people. We're human beings, we're vulnerable. If one of us sees that he's deviating, leave this business alone. Retire. Retire. Say, khalas, I can't do it anymore. But do not remain in the forefront and then bring the people to the deviance which you knew before was not the way. You knew before the right way, and you saw the progression and the change, and you've reached a new level where you don't even think the same anymore. Then back off and retire. Self-evaluation, self-check. Or if you have your internal conflict, do not communicate this to the people. You do not want to be part of that hadith. You do not want to be part of it. It is the scariest hadith as per my own personal understanding, with my own limited understanding. The scariest hadith, that you come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and you have thousands, hundreds of thousands of people with their sins on your back because you started something funny and you thought it was good. People making videos to teach you about Salah. They want to show you the violations in Salah. they make a comic clip where a brother's praying and someone punches him and they go, inna salah ya akhi. Do you really think we're that stupid as Muslims? You have to make a stupid video of Muslims beating each other in salah playfully for us to understand what to do and what not to do in salah? Come on now. Why do you want to start these videos? Because all these other youth who have nothing else to do, now they want to follow your footsteps. Now they want to make their own clips. Now they want to upload them on YouTube. 1,000 hit, 2,000, 1 million, mashallah. Now deal with the consequences. Deal with the consequences of this funny stuff. Always trying to link comedy with Islam. You don't make a video teaching people how to pray by clowning an act of worship. You just don't. It's just not acceptable. We're not saying that you have to be serious all the time. Wallahi, you don't. Joking is allowed as long as you're not lying. Laughing is allowed as long as it's not excessive. And those who attend other dawah events, they see there's a lot of humor, a lot of entertainment. We're not saying we're going to be serious and upset all the time. But we should know our limitations. When the matter is going to be interfering with the deen directly, it's a matter that Allah made big and we are trying to belittle it by making fun of it. This is when we say, la, I will not do this. This is not an area for joking and entertainment. This is the guideline. Otherwise, the religion is easy. And the Prophet ﷺ joked with the Sahaba. And the Sahaba used to joke with each other. And we have plenty of evidences and references from the Salaf that they had sense of humor. Some of them had a lot of sense of humor, a lot of jokes that they would make amongst their students, teachers with their students. No harm, no harm. But the excessiveness is where the disasters are. So my role and your role is, let us understand the Quran and the Sunnah according to the way of our righteous predecessors. Then we try to implement this in our lives to the best of our ability while acknowledging our shortcomings. Then we have two areas of investment. One wherein we want to do good things that the Muslims will follow us on so we will get their reward, and we want to avoid doing bad things that will have Muslims follow us so we will get their sin. It's a very simple way of life. It's a very simple way of life. Many of us might be involved in the latter without even knowing. It could be on a very smaller scale within your own family. You start some bid'ah, something of the sort. Maybe no one celebrates birthdays in your family. You're the first one who wants to celebrate birthdays. Now a birthday becomes a trend in the family. And everybody comes and they bring cakes and candles. Jazakallah khair. Allah yahdik. You started a disaster that you were better off without. Unless you're the mufti of the kingdom and you believe that birthdays are halal, then we can have a side discussion later about your justification for that. Just in case you say, well, this is not necessarily haram. Let's say it's debatable and the evidence is for or against, but that's not the topic. Think of anything that you also believe is haram. Any type of bid'ah that we practice today amongst the Muslims. When someone dies, everybody reads one juz' of the Quran. We come together in one house and we read different ajza of the Quran. This is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A lot of these, my brothers, are cultural rituals. Wallahi, cultural, purely cultural. Some Mawlana from some Hanafi madhab, from some Maliki madhab, from some Hanbali madhab, some 100 years ago, thought of this thing with his own ijtihad. And he could be forgiven by Allah azza wa jal. He was a scholar qualified. Made a mistake, ya akhi. Now we all want to follow him on this mistake until we go to the grave, when the vast majority of the scholars are in opposition to this opinion. I'm saying don't take the risk. دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكَ. Leave that which is doubtful to that which there's no doubt about. What did the Sahaba do when someone died? You don't know? Study. The sunnah was to make food for the family of the deceased. Not that the family of the deceased make food for the visitors. They considered this a type of niyaha, a type of wailing over the dead. This is the Sahaba themselves. You make food because they're busy with other logistics, burial, arrangements, what have you. You bring food out of courtesy. You're busy with other things. Here's the food. You don't sit there and socialize for half an hour. You give them the dua of the ta'ziyah, which maybe 80% of us don't even have it memorized. Ha, ikhwan, we don't even have it. We don't even know what to say when someone dies. The condolences, even though it's one sentence, maybe half a sentence, but we never get the time to memorize those. But we have time for everything else. MashaAllah. It's a sad reality that we wonder why Muslims kill other non-Muslims in violence because of ignorance. And when we want to blame them, we should also blame ourselves. Look how ignorant we can be about the basics of this deen. We don't even know how to deal with a funeral. No one knows what his job is, what his role is, who goes to who brings what, who says what. Do we bring lights? Do we stand in line, shake hands one after the other, hugs and kisses? How do we bury the person? What do we say at the time of burial, before, after dua? Most people just go with the janazah. They see everyone doing, I do like everybody else. We don't know the etiquettes of these things. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. You see the areas of improvement that we have? Where's the investment, my ikhwan? Where's the investment on our part? We're quick to criticize, but we are guilty in so many ways. So the reminder is, let us improve, enhance ourselves. These are areas that you can easily, alhamdulillah, now knowledge is readily available from authentic sources, alhamdulillah, because of the spread of the internet and so on and so forth. Let us utilize them properly and learn and be among those who do good. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub, اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم ردنا إلى طاعتك ردا جميلا. اللهم ردنا إلى الإسلام ردا جميلا. اللهم ردنا إلى الإسلام ردا جميلا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.